Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops. Today on Open Loops, we have somebody that does a lot. Very intrigued to talk to her about what all of this means. We have a empowerment leader, ascension coach, spiritual midwife, and co-creative partner, Susanna Kennedy here. She is the proud creator of the Reality Crafting 5.0 consciousness technology. A lot of interesting stuff, talking spirituality, quantum physics. It's been a theme of this show recently. We talked a lot about the quantum world. Lots of emotional, mental deprogramming. She's a women's empowerment leader as well. I mean, it seems like there's a whole lot of interesting stuff going on here, and we want to unpack it. Let's see if we can bring it to this third dimensional plane. Susanna, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation. Happy to be here and chat with you.
Yes, absolutely. I always need to know the awakening story. I need to know the awakening story, because I've seen some stuff. I saw on your website that, you know, you were living more of a traditional all-American capitalist background, living the dream, all that stuff. And I do always find it interesting when people go from that to all of a sudden this other dimension of work. What was it? What brought you here?
Yeah, well, the question that I had was, am I living my soul purpose? So I was in the corporate world. I designed training programs and performance solutions. I was part of a consulting team in the Detroit area, and our clients were the auto industry. And I was like, you know, have I really been put on this earth to teach guys how to run their car dealership, you know? And I just didn't think that was it. And I was asking that question. So one Saturday morning, I woke up with this energy, like a freight train of energy running up my spine. And it was, you know, electrifying and magnetic and scary. And my body was doing weird things. And I was like, what is going on? And I heard a voice answer me in my head, and it was, you are giving birth to yourself, just breathe. And so I had two children, so I did the birthing breath, the Lamaze breath.
Right.
And that did help me to cope with the energy, but it lasted for about an hour and a half. And when it was done, I felt like a completely different person. And I knew whoever I thought I was before, that is not who I am. And it was this connection to this vast love and power and energy. And, you know, and it was, and I was told I'm giving birth to myself. So I was like, this must be the real me. Although, you know, it's going to take a while to get to know that one. But yeah, right. So it was huge. And it changed my personality. It changed my values. And I had that sense now of purpose and mission, and it was really, really strong. Like, I am here on a mission from God, and I'm going to figure out what it is. But at the same time, I could see this other self that I thought I was. And to me, it looked like a computer program in my cellular network. And, you know, maybe because I was, you know, teaching computer classes at the time, but that's how it looked to me. And it was like, this is just a program. It's just a collection of beliefs about who I am. And it's not the truth of who I am. And so I was on a mission to, that was the first thing, is how do I get rid of that computer program? Because I know it's going to limit me from being all that I am and doing what I came here to do. So I, you know, asked this voice, which luckily stayed with me. It was a beautiful, loving, guiding voice, very empowering. And so how do I get rid of this programming? And I was led to a workshop, and I took the workshop, and it, the man who led it, well, first of all, it helped me to integrate into my body this new higher self. So it did that. But then he had another modality that he worked with that got rid of the computer programming and the emotional baggage that that programming created. So, and what I had learned in the meantime was that we all do this. We come in to this world. We're these big, vast beings of love and light. And we send like a little stream of ourselves to animate the physical body. And then as we animate it, we need to create a sense of self. I see it now as an avatar, like going into a video game and you choose, you know, what you're going to look like, what your personality is. And the way it's working is very much like now artificial intelligence, where it's taking in everything. It's learning, it's downloading what's going on in the environment, in your family, and there's no filter. It's just coming in, and that it has this pattern recognition ability. So when things happen over and over again, it's like, oh, that must be important. That must be part of who I am. And it creates a belief about yourself and about your relationship with others and your relationship to the world. And those beliefs get stored, and those beliefs create the events in your life. And those events, some of them are happy, but some of them are not so happy. And they, these beliefs about yourself could be limiting. They could be, you know, unloving about yourself. And they create these events. And then these events appear to validate the beliefs. But you don't understand that, because they're created from the belief. And so we have all of these experiences, and these events create the beliefs, validate it, and those beliefs get stronger and stronger. And they repeat over your lifetime, same themes. And so it's all locked in your subconscious programming. And because it's subconscious, we don't really see it. You know, we just are triggered by certain things and we react, and those triggers send us back to the original event that first hurt us, and we react from that past defense mechanism. So here we are going along and wondering why, you know, here we're an adult and wondering why do we keep attracting the same kind of partner, or why do we keep having the same kind of experience at work, or, you know, the same argument with our parents. And so that's the programming, and that's what it does. And so that's what I wanted to clear out. And so I did this healing modality with this man, and it worked really well. It got rid of the programming, and it allowed me to keep that connection to my higher self and keep my connection to information that was coming in from the higher dimensions. And so then I used my skills that I had developed in the third dimension, being able to take information and create a training program and take people step by step through a transformation. And I applied it to this new information that was coming through to change the consciousness. And that's why I call it consciousness technology. And so I created what is called the emotional mental deprogramming system. And it's similar to what I went through in the beginning, but my guidance was to upgrade it, because the way that I learned it, you could only do one person at a time, and you had to be there with them physically to really support them, because it was a really dramatic, cathartic type of session that they would need a lot of support for. And what my guides were telling me is that there is going to come a time when so many people recognize that they're on these repeating patterns, and they want to clear those patterns out and clear the limiting beliefs out, that you're not going to have time to do this, you know, one-on-one in person. We want you to create a way that they can either do it on their own, or they can, I could do it remotely, or I could do it with a whole big group at once. And so I evolved it, and it became this emotional mental deprogramming system, which is now, you know, on my website as a digital course that people can do on their own. So that is the awakening.
My gosh, that is a big story. No, I kind of let you go, because I was like, I'm going to just keep going with what there was something hypnotic about it. I was falling into the tale here. But there definitely are some questions I have about this. I mean, let me ask you this. I always find it intriguing, and this is like me trying to, I mean, really, I mean, a lot of the purpose of this show is to be a bridge between, I mean, some might say use the literal, they might mean this literally in the spiritual sense of the 3D to the 5D. I also mean it metaphorically, but also, isn't everything kind of metaphorical, really? But okay, so I guess my question is this. You know, look, we know there's a world out there where you go into a corporate room with people in suits talking about cars and manufacturing, and you start talking about the 5D, they'll think you're insane. Now, not as much as they used to, though. I will say there's kind of this, as I've talked about this a lot with previous guests, about how, you know, this, the idea of mental reprogramming. I feel like in 2024, you can actually get away with that in a lot of corporate settings. You can say mental programming and reprogramming in a way that you probably couldn't even 5 years ago, because we're just there. But my question for you is this. Were you prone to this kind of stuff before? I mean, did you have a mystical background? How does somebody get from corporate, really data-driven results business language to talking about ascension, rainbows, and star seeds. I mean, I really am curious what this transformation was. Were you primed to do it, or did it really just overtake you into a new realm?
Well, it was kind of both. I had always been interested in spiritual or metaphysics, basically. So I had, as a child, I had a lot of, I had voices and I had playmates and, you know, and up until I was about six. And then, you know, the parents are like, oh, she's got a really active imagination. And, you know, you get the sense that, you know, what you're experiencing isn't real. So it kind of closed down for a while. And then when I got married, I had some children. One of my children was sick. She was an infant and she wasn't thriving. She wasn't growing. Something was wrong and the doctors couldn't figure it out. So I was desperate. So I went to somebody who was a medical intuitive. It's like, can you look at this and see what's going on? And she did. And she said that there was a vertebrae out of place and the messages from her brain to her stomach weren't getting there. And so the food was, you know, I was nursing her. And then the doctor said, well, give her some cereal or give her, you know, nothing worked. It just came out in the diaper. So, you know, it was just passing through. And so I took her to the chiropractor and one adjustment and she's like gained 3 pounds in 1 month. And I'm like, wow, you know, and then that introduced me to this woman. I was intrigued about how she did what she did. And I took some intuitive development classes from her. I took some past life regression classes from her.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and that was all before this awakening. It was like 15 years before this awakening. So, and I, you know, started playing with your thoughts create your reality. And I was doing intentional reality crafting and that was working. And I started to teach that. And, you know, I did that on the side. I wasn't doing it in the corporate world, at least not overtly. I would use it to my benefit for my products or for my projects and for my relationships in the corporate world. But then when the awakening happened, I just got access to a whole lot more. And so I stayed in that job as an employee of the consulting firm for about a year. And I was experimenting, you know, I was getting to know this new me and I was experimenting with all kinds of things. I wonder if I could do this and I wonder if I could do that. And it was like everything that I tried worked and it was really fun and exciting. And, you know, but I kept seeing this vision of what my life was meant to be. And it was so different than what I was living. And it was like, I don't know how to get from here to there. And that not knowing would kind of paralyze me. Like, I don't know what to do. And so then I just got, you know, from my guide, just we'll send you enough information, enough guidance, and enough energy to get through each day and to stay aligned with this vision of this new life. And, you know, so that you just focus on the one thing, we'll give you, you know, something to do every day, you know, some little thing that kept me aligned. And within a year, I was, had moved from the Detroit area to Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, and there we go. That's where it all goes down. You say Sedona, of course, that's where you're going to convert all the way. No, tell me what happened in Sedona. My gosh.
Well, that's, you know, I had left the consulting firm as an employee. I did still work with them as an independent contractor. So I still had some income coming in. And I had a lot more time. And so I started doing this modality that I had trained in. And I had made a bunch of friends and I was practicing on them. And it was all evolving, because when I would get with them and tap into their energy field, it would tell me things and show me things. And, you know, it was just like all experimentation, all let's try this, see if it works. You know, it was guidance and everything worked well. And, you know, all of a sudden I had all these referrals coming in and a healing practice that just grew up around me, you know. And then I got the guidance after 2 years of that, it's time to move. And I was guided to move to here, to Hawaii. I'm on the island of Kauai. And I've been here 23 years now.
Oh my gosh, this is the most mystical story ever. You're car manufacturing. You go to Sedona, and all of a sudden, you're living your paradise in Hawaii. Susanna, this is pretty good. Was Hawaii part of your vision?
Yeah. I didn't know it was Hawaii. I could see the island life. I could see the palm trees, and you know, before the awakening happened, I had been going with my husband at that time to the Caribbean, you know, once a year. So I thought it was the Caribbean, but it wasn't. And then I was in Sedona and I kept seeing dolphins and whales and mostly dolphins. And then somebody came around and they had a retreat with dolphins on the big island. It was like, okay, I'm gonna go do that. And so I found Hawaii, and Kauai, this island, is the one that resonates with me. All the islands have a different energy, so this is the one that resonates with me. And then after being here for a year, I was ready for my sacred union partner. So I I did my reality crafting and called in a partner. And within 6 weeks of calling him in, he arrived. He moved to the island from St. Louis. So
now, wait a minute. So this is interesting. There are a lot of things I want to go off of here, but let me ask you this. Why go through the online dating apps? Why struggle? Who needs a personal ad? Should we all just be going straight for sacred union partner? I mean, I understand you had kids before, and who even knows if, you know, I don't need to necessarily go into the origins of your previous life. But that said, what I'm hearing here is that the sacred union person is probably a lot more significant than maybe this, you know, the person we're told we should marry, or the guy that looks good on paper, or whoever it is. I mean, is this the height of society? Is this where we're getting pushed? What is the role of sacred union partners in the collective?
Yeah. Well, to get a sacred union partner, you have to get the sacred union within yourself. And that sacred union is your soul, your higher self, fully embodied.
Oh, that's going to take a while over here. Yes, right.
And so once you do that, then you are emitting the right frequency, the right soul signature, to attract somebody who is aligned with that. So all this work that I had been doing on myself and all of this evolution, I was on an accelerated evolutionary path, you know, since that awakening until Kauai, which is about 3 years. I was working on myself and I was evolving, and my frequency was raising And that in that also, which I hadn't mentioned before, there was another big download of information that that turned out to be what's called now the Divine Human Upgrade System. And that's like a 12-session program, but 11, session 11 is merging with your twin flame, which is a part of you that's kind of in the higher dimension while you're incarnate. And you might take turns supporting each other in that way. But when you reach a frequency that matches in that higher dimension, then your twin flame can merge. And then I was in this place where I had stopped longing for what people call a soulmate, or, you know, that feeling that you have of longing for someone, like they're going to complete you. They're going to, you know, be what you can't be to you. And, you know, and that's the difference, you know, before you get to that point, you're attracting people who are mirroring your woundedness. And when you've cleared and you've healed yourself, then you're attracting somebody who has also been healed and whole and complete. And so you're not, you know, filling each other's holes. You're in a state of love and compassion, and you're sharing that joy and love and compassion with somebody else. And it's just not like any relationship that I had ever seen. And when I originally heard those words, sacred union, you know, it was like a attraction to my soul. It was like, what is that? I know that, but not from here.
I was going to say, do we even see this in, I mean, you know, it's so interesting that a lot of there's been pushback, I would say, with these people that want to destroy, that want to bring down the Matrix. But partly, I think in general, there's pushback about the way romance works. You know, I think like the most, the mainstream criticism is always, well, 50% of marriages don't work out. We've heard that over and over. We also hear that Disney has romanticized, you know, this idea of romantic love is very Hollywood. Happily ever after is that, you know, you have to work through things, da 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 da. But what I'm almost hearing is that there's a possibility it is rare we haven't even seen this depicted. I'm not even sure we could depict sacred union. I mean, is there, you know, how do we live in, I mean, besides, you know, turn off television and hang out with you in Hawaii, which might be the answer. How do we get a sense of what can we even, is it even worth trying to look at models of romantic love in the world for us? Or is that something that's just impossible to really depict?
Well, you know, it's really all about frequency. You know, it's like whatever you want in a relationship, you have to be that first. And so if you really want that kind of deep love and connection and intimacy, you have to do that within yourself first. You're always going to get what you are mirrored back to you in a relationship. And so trying to, I remember when I was put out my, my list. So what do I said, asked myself, what do I want to feel in a sacred union relationship? How does that feel? How does it feel when, we're together? How does it feel when we're apart? How does it feel when there's a challenge we have to deal with? How does it feel when, you know, we're playing? And so I wrote all of that down and I did a little ceremony, sent it off. And my guide said, he doesn't even live here on the island. We'll have to get him here. But that wasn't, I went off the story about the dating app thing. I heard the guy that you're looking for does not even know how to turn on a computer.
It's like,
and it was true. When I met him, he literally did not know how. He had a laptop, but he didn't know how to turn it on. So, it's like attracts like, and it's all about frequency. And you have to be totally yourself. You have to have your soul in your body, radiating clearly its soul signal without any distortions, without any filters. Then the person who matches that can find you, or you'll be magnetically attracted. It's just how it all works. So, and I totally feel like it's so worth it to fall in love with yourself. And
that feels worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the rest just happens. You know, when you have your soul signal radiating clearly, not only can you attract a mate, but you can attract other people who resonate with you, soul union friends. All of the opportunities that you need to fulfill your soul purpose, anything that has to do with your soul's got to be radiating clearly. And then you automatically attract what is resonant with your soul.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's, and when you love yourself, I mean, you can just keep buying yourself chocolates and have Valentine's Day every day. But I mean, that is, it's a very good point. It's a very good point. You know, here's what I'm wondering though. And this is just, I'm going to zoom out for a second on the intention of the universe, because, you know, there's a lot of talk in religion about, well, we give them free will so they can learn. They can learn. A lot of the, when people criticize if God exists, especially from a Judeo-Christian framework, they go, you know, why would God allow something evil to happen? And the point is that God is giving free will and humans can learn. And even God, you need to experience, the way you experience good things is by going through the bad and whatnot. So here's my question for you with regard to sacred unions. Why are there so many? I would argue, Susanna, that there are a lot of children brought into the world under the auspices of relationships that aren't the most sacred. People that did meet other people too, and, you know, to fill something inside of them that was missing. And, you know, that maybe the marriage was good. There was a little bit of love expressed there. There was something there, but I would argue that I think there are a lot of marriages and long-term relationships that lead to this sacred act of bringing new life that, come with a lot of baggage. It's not people left and right that are in love with themselves, meeting others in sacred unions. Why is that the divine order? I mean, is that just the way it is? And someone on the higher dimensional planes is going, yeah, well, that's what humans are doing now because this is their biological drive, but there's going to be another way. I mean, what is it going to take for us to really take our time loving ourselves before we get into these intimate partnerships and then create more life?
Right. Well, it's an excellent question. And it's, I think that we're at that time now in our collective consciousness and our consciousness evolution where that does become more possible and probable. But, at a soul level, when we choose to incarnate, we choose our family of origin, knowing what their phobias are and knowing that we're going to be influenced by them. And, you know, I think it's, I think to the soul level, it's a big game. It's like entering a video game. And, you know, you're this avatar and your soul's playing the game. And you come in with some kind of objective that you either want to learn or experience. Or, you know, a lot of people these days that I run into come in with a purpose to help with this consciousness evolution that is happening. You know, so they didn't really need to come here to learn anything. They're coming here to help. And when I developed the Divine Human Upgrades, after it was all laid out, I said, this would be great for aspiring couples or parents, is to go through this process themselves, merge with their divinity, and then consciously call in a soul that is going to resonate with their divinity and then raise them to be a divine being with that love and not, you know, putting on their, passing down their neurosis, you know. And, you know, can you imagine raising a child coming from this place of unconditional love and compassion? And, you know, that child would not have any self-doubts. They wouldn't feel unworthy. They, you know, they would. And I think, you know, in some more recent generations, the parents have gone a little bit overboard in being, giving their kids everything except boundaries and structure. So, you know, the pendulum swings, but there is a way to raise children to know who they are as a divine being and focus on what is the contribution that they came to give to this planet.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It makes you wonder, well, I mean, you know, okay, help me understand this maybe on more of a practical level, because, you know, when you're a kid, parents always go, what do you want to be when you grow up? And as I get older, I'm starting to think that those answers are probably more the ones we should honor. That said, you know, not every kid knows all the careers. They don't know that game design is something when they're five. And maybe that is the thing that's going to be the most soul fulfilling, artistically fulfilling, emotional, whatnot. But is there a better question? Is there a different way to dig at from a young age what the trajectory should be? I mean, what would a parent that's looking to do some high vibe parenting, what kind of activities and things would they be encouraging from their kid, do you feel?
Well, I think that they would really observe their children and see where their interest is. You know, once you put a kid in the public educational system, it kind of programs out of them whatever their joy is. So
yes,
if you can find, an educational path that is encouraging them to follow what they're interested in. And they might be all over the place. They might, you know, be interested in something for a while and, oh, that's enough of that, and go on to the next thing. That's totally okay. They don't have to commit. It's the time of exploration to see what do they love? What are they good at? What brings them joy? So, you know, and our current system doesn't really allow for that. But we're getting there, because that old system, like all the other old systems, are falling apart. And we're, after the whole COVID thing where the kids were home and homeschooling and, charter schools came up. And so I think we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you there. Okay, so this is all very interesting. I want to get into reality crafting. Whoa, what does this mean? I mean, look, I'm very intrigued. Look, there's a lot of, you know, well, okay, well, let's go with this. We have manifestation. We have people that talk about the idea of taking something that's in your head and turning it into something tangible, something you can grasp or something that's actually out in the world. You know, how would you classify reality crafting against maybe some of the more traditional, you know, things we've heard of, The Secret or other manifestation techniques? Like, what are you really driving at there?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was in Sedona and, you know, I had to think of a name for my business, I was inspired with reality crafting. And at that time, I was doing a lot of exploration into just conscious manifestation. What feels really different now and how it expresses itself in my practice is really fine-tuning that conscious manifestation. So to create, you have to have a thought, and the thought becomes the blueprint. And then you also have to have the energy that fuels the thought. So, and that energy is what I found is I call it infinite love. So it's a very specific frequency. And when you use infinite love frequency, it creates a 0-point energy field. And so what that means is there's no form in that energy field. It's just raw creative energy. And the thought is the blueprint that tells that energy how to take shape and form. So what I do with my clients is I have them focus on one aspect of their life at a time and say, how would they like this aspect to express itself in a better, upgraded way? And, you know, I listen to what they want. And usually, a lot of times they can't really articulate it. They might just say, my relationship with my husband, you know, and or, you know, a better job at work, or whatever, health things. So I tune in and I'm able to somehow, because I read frequencies, which is a gift that I have that I don't even know how it works because it's not visual for me. That's the best way I can describe it is I read the frequencies and I know what they mean. And I can discern what the potential is for that aspect of their life. And then I can articulate it with the right words that create the right thought intentions. And then we, so then we have the instructional codes for that new upgraded aspect of their reality. So I get the instruction codes. And then I can also discern and guide them through releasing anything in their consciousness that's in resistance to that. So it could be those limiting beliefs. It could be stuck emotional energy. It could be something coming through their DNA from their ancestors that never got resolved. It could be, you know, alternate past life, future life, whatever. And it could be just outside circumstances, you know, in the world. Whatever it is, I just call that resistance. And I bring that resistance into a field of infinite love, which then neutralizes that energy. When you put it in a field of infinite love, 0-point, whatever it was does not exist anymore because the form is neutralized. So you, and then this field of infinite love is also the creative energy. So I put that creative energy that used to be resistance. I'm giving you all my secrets.
No, this is good. This is good. Yeah. Spill it out. Spill the code. No, this is interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
So you take that infinite love, that 0-point energy field that used to be resistance, and you apply it to the thought, to the reality codes that we created. You put them together and anchor them in, and that new reality manifests. And it manifests pretty quickly.
Whoa. Okay. So look, this is all very, I mean, look, you say you're giving away your secrets, but I will say it's also a little, it's very abstract too. I'm trying to think of an example here. Like, you know, you said it coming from a vague perspective. So I'm having issues with my husband. And you get the instruction codes. Tell me this. Are these instructions, you're reading the frequency, is it like the higher order? What's actually going on here? Is that sort of what you mean? Or is it, I'm a little confused, where is it coming from? Is it their higher self going, hey, here's what's going on here? They say it's their husband, but really it's about this. And you go, yeah, it's this, isn't it? And you go, hey, Have you guys been going on dates with each other? Like, when's the last time you went on a date? Like, is it that kind of thing, or is it something even more extreme and abstract?
No, it's I go into, how do you want to feel in this relationship?
Oh, interesting.
You want to feel loved. You want to feel honored. You want to feel respected. You want to have, you know, a full partnership where you're really supporting each other. When it's about relationship, I kind of model it after my own, because my own is a sacred union. So I, you know, the words about how it feels to be in this relationship. And so it's more about the feeling than it is, you know, because we're manifesting from our hearts. Our minds have a lot of obsolete data. But our hearts know love, and our hearts know what is the highest potential.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's all, I'm absolutely with you. I'm just going, my gosh, there's a lot of code talk, that you went through there. And I'm just wondering, you know, at the end of the day, could you get right through by going to feelings? Would feelings, maybe you understand, is it, or maybe what I'm trying to do here, Susanna, is trying to understand your level of reality, the way you sense the world. Like, how important is it for your clients to understand that you're getting this input from this frequency and now you're going into 0 point and all these things? Do they see all that? Is that just something that you need to know, or is it important they understand that too? Because to me, it sounds like you could just ask them to go, well, what would you like to feel? And then you can kind of work this magic in the background, like the Wizard of Oz, and they might not even need to understand the intricacy of the craft. Help me understand that, the craft versus the outcome, and how much them needing to understand the blueprint fits into them ascending.
Yeah. Well, the way that I do it with them is it turns out to be like a guided meditation. It's a guided transformational journey. So they're with me the whole time. And even though they couldn't articulate what they wanted, when I articulate, they go, oh yeah, that's it. That's even better than I could have ever imagined.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So this is the co-creator.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So then, yeah, and I'm guiding them through, you know, okay, we created the new reality codes and we're going to put that aside. And now we're going to look at the resistance to those codes. And I have them just call it up. It's by attention, anything that's in resistance. And I have them breathe it through And, you know, while they're doing that, I'm saying, okay, so these are some beliefs. Here's some stuck energy, anything from, you know, past lives. I'm just kind of, I let it go. I just talk and let it go. And after doing it for so many years and seeing the results and having people validate it, I'm just in total confidence about it. And, yeah. And, you know, and then I have another group of members that that they've done all this work with me, and now they just want to do world service. So we do things together, and I use the same style, and they will say, I was seeing what you said before you said it. So they were, I'm not necessarily clairvoyant, but I have a lot of clients who are, and they will see it happening and then I'll describe it. So again, that's, you know, very validating for me, that these things really are happening. They're just as real as the things that are happening in our physical world.
Yeah. Yeah, you certainly have a lot of interesting, if you go, and we'll link to this, SusannaKennedy.com, a lot of talk from people. The testimonials are about beauty emerging and feeling divine peace and feeling this kind of overwhelming sense that they are love all of a sudden. That's a pretty cool thing. Are these people that have tried, okay, let me ask you this, because, you know, if you have people coming to you that are clairvoyant, I imagine that they've probably tried some of the other modalities that I mentioned to you, hypnosis, NLP, you know, maybe going to therapy, meditation, all these kind of things. What do you think it is? Are there people who've tried these things that work with you and all of a sudden go, no, this really clicked with me? And if that has happened, which I'm guessing it probably has, what do you think is the piece that's missing maybe from what they've tried previously?
Yeah, well, it does happen a lot. And a lot of my clients actually have been coming from Bruce Lipton. Are you familiar with who he is?
Oh, yes. Biology of Belief. Yes.
Right. So they come already prepared. He's already motivated them to deprogram their subconscious. So when they get to me, that's what they're looking, you know, how can I do that? And so, they do say, you know, I've tried this and that. And usually they say it's helped a little, but it hasn't gotten them all the way to where they wanted to be. And, you know, that's true. Even all the things that you try, it's a path. And, you know, but when they, you know, come to my website and see a video of me, they have a feeling, you know, this is the one person that I want to work with. And so that's kind of how it goes. But the reason I think it works when other things don't is because it's really integrated. It's multidimensional. So like hypnosis is usually just working with the mental realm. Emotional release modalities is just working with the emotions. you know, so I'm working with all of it, the because we're clearing the cellular memory as well. So there's the physical body and the mental body, the emotional body, and then it goes beyond that because we're connecting with the creator source, and that accesses all that you are in other times and dimensions. So it's just really comprehensive, and I just don't let anything sneak by. It's like I get it all at once.
Do you still have experiences in other realms? Do you astral project? Do you time travel in your mind? I mean, what is happening for you these days on the fringes of your existence?
I'm working on integrating even higher aspects of myself. So I'm connecting with myself in the eighth dimension.
And whoa, what's there?
Well, that self is a galactic sociologist.
Tell me more.
Part of a team. And that in that realm, they are really dedicated to helping planets that are ascending and providing support and consciousness technology. So I'm guessing this is where some of the things I've downloaded previously have come from. But the goal is to actually embody that part of myself. And as a galactic sociologist, so she is wanting to teach other galactic beings how to work with Earth humans in a way where they can help and support and not scare them away because they look so different or because they are so different. And also not to allow the humans to become dependent or think they're being saved. It's all about empowering from within. And then, you know, for Earth humans to be part of the galactic citizenship.
Yeah. I mean, this is now look, how do we all, I mean, I talk about it all the time. I've never had, at least when I'm consciously aware of, one of these transcendent experiences. I haven't had angels speak to me. I've never seen ghosts. I think it is very interesting what you're doing. And I do think there are a lot of people that operate at the belief systems and even perhaps the, I would dare say the experiential level of reality that you seem to be embarking on and spreading with the world. Is it just going to come down to everybody taking it up individually to, like you said, I like what you said earlier, because I've been thinking about this, experimenting spiritually with themselves. It's kind of taking this scientific approach to ascending themselves, or is there just going to be, I guess here's what I'm really asking. Here's what, when I hear people that talk about going into the 5D, they talk about that there's people that are coming for the journey and people that aren't. And when I ask, well, what's it going to take to wake these people up? They go, well, what are you going to do it, Greg? What are you going to take? What responsibility are you going to take to wake yourself up and then others up? Does it really come down to that? Or are there signs out there? Are there signals? Is there going to be an alien intervention? Whatever it is, what can we look forward to as you sense that we're all moving into this realm?
Right. Well, what I would say just to that question, is there going to be an alien intervention? You know, there already is a benevolent alien intervention. That's
yes.
All of us star seeds that have become part of the ground crew. And I also want to say, if there's some kind of event that seems like a negative alien intervention, it is not true. It's not real. It's holographic mimicry. So we don't have to fear any kind of negative alien invasion, but we should be on the lookout for something like that that might be used as a way to get control. The frequency is coming from the sun. So we've been getting a lot of corneal mass ejections, and a lot of people who are sensitive and even haven't been sensitive are feeling that.
I've heard this quite a bit. Yeah.
What that does is it's raising the frequency of the planet and everything on it. And so as you raise your frequency, anything that doesn't resonate with the higher frequency is going to be released. And so you see the chaos. You see people exploding in anger. But this is all stuff that is inside of them that's being detoxified. And so that is happening at a planetary level. And so there's really no escaping that. And as far as who is going to ascend and who is not, it all has to do with how much density that you have in your energy field. So the more you embrace the higher frequencies and do whatever you can to raise your frequency, the more comfortable this transition time is going to be. And, you know, if there is so much density that your body can't handle the high frequencies, then, you know, that's going to show up as illness and, discomfort, and it might drive a few people crazy. So there's going to be like a natural exit because the physical body can't handle the high frequencies. So that's another motivation to raise your frequency. And one of the ways you raise your frequency is to clear out the denser frequencies in your field.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No. I do think it is. I mean, it really does come down to personal responsibility again. We feel it. I think people are definitely more open to discussing how they're not fulfilled in their life these days. And I would even argue in a weird way that the proliferation of cult documentaries is to me a sign that, we're trying to discern what gives us meaning more and what doesn't. And even in this kind of perverted version of what a spiritual life is, I think it makes people call into question, like, okay, well, if this is how people find meaning, then what is it? What is it that we're all, what is the human thing that calls us to search out even this kind of community in the first place? So that's my defense of cult documentaries for a second. But back to you, Susanna. Reality crafting 5.0. I need to know what did you fix from the other four versions? Were there other versions before? Are we starting at five because it's the fifth dimension? Like, what is the fifth version of reality crafting?
Well, it is relative to helping people to move to the fifth dimension. So that's reality crafting. I never had 1.0 or 2.0. It was reality crafting.
So you ain't the iPhone, okay? You're not Apple. You're starting at five. You might not even go to six. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the sociologist in the eighth dimension is going to push an upgrade.
Well, I do have, a group of people that are coming with me to be on the fifth. So, so that is happening. So they have taken everything that I've ever offered, and they know that I'm continuing an evolution, and they just want to go with me. So we have that going on. But I think, I think people are waking up because, you know, when you look at how many people don't trust the media anymore, I mean, it's a huge percentage. And so if you don't trust what's being told to you, if you don't trust the narrative, then you're saying, well, what is the truth? And that motivates people to look for the truth and then to also realize, well, if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? And so they're starting to seek the truth, and that's a really good start. And I think once they do that, what happens is you get to this place where I can't trust anybody to tell me the truth. I don't know how to discern the truth. So that's when you have to say, I have to know how to discern the truth. I have to learn how to do that. And that's going to require clearing out your old beliefs and connecting into your intuition and being able
to. That was something I was going to ask you about. Blocks or in general, these unconscious programs, is it just beliefs or is it, I mean, sometimes people talk about it's a belief and then they say, well, really a belief is just a feeling, but it's, you know, you're putting the semantic understanding around this block inside of you from this past event or trauma or whatever it is, you develop a belief system. I mean, what are the various modes of blocks inside someone? If you're moving someone from, you know, lack to abundance, which I know that you definitely do in some of your courses and your work. Is it just a belief sometimes? Is it a feeling? Like what, how would you define a block in all its variations?
Okay, well, a belief is a thought that you decide is true for some reason. And maybe it's because that belief has created those events that seem to validate the belief. So there's the belief, there's the event that it creates, and then there's your reaction to it. And there's what is triggered in that response to that event that the belief created. So there's emotional content. So the way that I work with people is to imagine that this belief and the events, like the first event that created that belief, is like in a holographic bubble. And it's like a movie. And it has everything that happened that you could see visually, but everything that you felt and everything that you know. And so that's like a memory bubble. And then, you know, we call out all the other memory bubbles because it becomes a repeating pattern. So all the other events that are related to that, and we put that all into, a field of infinite love and neutralize it so that belief and everything that all the memories it created and all of the pain that it created is neutralized into infinite love. And then it doesn't exist anymore in your consciousness.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so the blocks could be any part of that. So but a belief is a thought. It's not a feeling, but the belief can create a feeling. You know, the feeling is the response to it, the thought.
Yeah. Well, I like this idea of, you know, I think I'm understanding when you describe the bubble. It made something pop out for me because I know that, people always talk about limiting belief systems and clearing your limiting beliefs. But there's just something in me that tells me that the work can be deeper than that. Again, it that sounds very mental. Belief system. It's and you can then install a positive belief system in yourself, but again, it's we're trying to get you not to be a computer programmer anymore. We're trying to move beyond. We're almost in order to capture the full complexity of a human being, which is the ultimate nonlinear system. To me, I feel that you probably, If you're going to leave someone in the best place they possibly can, you probably have to go beyond the limits of the human itself, which is beyond the mind, in order to bring someone into abundance. At least that's just my, you know, theoretical musings on why simply working at the mental level for belief systems may not get you all the way there. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree with you. And that's why it's a mental emotional deprogramming. You have to, you know, it's the emotional energy that in the emotional body that creates the blocks that you were asking about. It creates energetic blocks, which if they're there long enough, will turn into physical symptoms. And that's why I work with all the levels. I mean, we're multidimensional beings and we have to work with all the multidimensions. The mental isn't going to clear out the pain that's in the emotional body if you're just working with the belief system.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, look, you can work with Susanna directly. You can also, you have, in addition to some of the free content that, let me do this the reverse way. In addition to the paid courses and whatnot, because you do have some courses that, you can go through yourself on your website, some digital products there. You are offering some, a free meditation. Some interesting resources on your website for sure. And if you want to like dip your toes in, you also have this book, that came out in November, Sacred Union: Ascending to a 5D Paradise. It looks like you cover some interesting stuff in that book. We didn't even talk about where you've been all over the world before you got to Hawaii. What can people expect from this book?
Well, the first half of the book is my transformational journey in a lot more detail than, what we gave you today. As that journey unfolded, how I developed these various consciousness technology tools. And then the second half of the book is me as an instructional designer giving instructions on how to use a lot of the energy tools that I've developed. So it's like step by step from my guided meditations that you can do on your own. And I think everything that's in the book in a text-based form is also available on my website as a guided meditation. So if you'd rather do it that way, then, but you can use the instructions in the book and take yourself through it, maybe record it for yourself and then listen to your own recording. So it's, the second half of the book, lots of energy tools.
Yeah. And if you go to this website, you'll see that there is, you've got this emotional mental detox, you've got divine human upgrade, though I will say there's a lot of imagery of Apple products for people to see that you can do the course on your iPad or your iPhone or computer, but also, I'm not saying Susanna and Tim Cook hang out with all these upgrades. I'm not saying there's like an Apple agenda here, the language, but they're it's optimized for Apple products clearly. Cause I see them all over this page.
No, there's nothing connected there. That's just, when you go to create an image for a digital product, those are the mock-ups that are available. So
when you tell me we're getting to reality crafting 15, it's just because you've ascended to that dimension. That's where we're going. That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. There's even like inner male healing starter kits. Wow, that's intriguing. Wait a sec, I need to know what is a spiritual midwife?
Okay, well, just as I was given that this higher self was going to be born into my body in the beginning, I hold the space for people to embody their divine self. So that's my role as a spiritual midwife.
Oh, interesting. 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 Yeah. Hey, it's all very cool stuff. Reality crafting. Here's what one thing I want to ask you is, because, to return to the beginning of all this, I would describe you, Susanna, as somebody that was able to move from the corporate sphere to bring your knowledge and able to generate a business for yourself doing this as well, as a high functioning mystic. But not everybody is. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are into these topics, including me at times. I feel like I'm still wrapping my brain around having a business mind. And, you know, I think sometimes people get lost in the right brain side of things and the more esoteric realms. But when it comes to actually living out their soul's purpose, they might not be able to, they might not have the steps, or there's a knowledge gap missing that is utterly three-dimensional in terms of them building out what they need. In your experience with reality crafting or the work you're doing in general, how can the spiritual realms help inform the entrepreneurial?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, part of, you know, the process that I take people through is the balance of the inner male and inner female. So it would be the inner male who's been healed and matured. The inner female is healed and mature. She's the one that is experiencing the mystical stuff. The inner male is the one that's more orderly and can put things in the proper perspective. But it's certainly when, and then they create together. So the inner male is the thought, the clear instruction codes. The inner female brings the infinite love, and they put that together and they set an intention. They set a creation. I'm going to create a business around my sacred service to the world, and then see what comes in. Now, you might still have to take some training, or you might be guided to hire somebody to do the things that you don't want to do or don't want to learn because you want to focus on doing your thing. So I've done it both ways. I've taken training on, you know, how to do a business, how to market. And then I've also had people help me, like Kathy. So yeah, it can work. And I did for a while, I was helping people to take their soul purpose that was kind of newly discovered and make a business out of it. And I took them through that process. And some of them have done that and are very successful. And but I just got the guidance that that wasn't where I was supposed to focus my energy, and that I, you know, more people to do the spiritual midwifing part, and I can refer them to somebody to help them to get the business going.
So that's, you know, and that's the thing. It's you're not, it's not irreality crafting. It's not, you know, fantasy crafting. It's you're still bringing people back to the reality that they're living in right now. You know, I had somebody recently on the show say that the problem that she finds with a lot of people is that in the spiritual community, they're all talking 5D, 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 and yet we're still in the 3D world. And if they don't acknowledge that, then there can be a lot of spiritual bypassing, and it just doesn't actually yield anything. You know, what would you say to that? How do we accept and acknowledge where we are, but not completely close ourselves off to something greater? I flip those. You're in something greater, but you don't lose track of your grounding. Either of those, how would you respond to that?
Well, grounding is important. And spiritual bypassing is a real thing. I did a whole blog series on that. We're not in the 3D anymore. We're all in 4D, okay? And some people are already bumping up against the 5D. So it's all about consciousness. But the third dimension is, we've all transcended above that. And we know that because the things that were secret and hidden and suppressed are coming up to the surface. And those things could only stay hidden in the third dimension. So that we're were asking questions. And what I said earlier about, you know, not trusting the media, looking for the truth, those are fourth dimensional type consciousness activities. So, but being grounded and realizing that we are physical. So I differentiate 3D from being physical. We're still physical. You'd still be physical in the fifth dimension. Is you do work with what is physical and what is the current reality, which is changing very quickly. And things that worked as far as marketing a business or starting a business in the third dimension aren't working now. And
absolutely.
So you do need to keep up with what's happening now. But you, when you're creating from the fifth dimensional consciousness, you get a lot more guidance and you get that feeling of, you know, this is the path for me, or this isn't aligned with what I want to do. And, you know, I mean, I'm starting to see where, you know, there's all these consultants and training programs, and I can tell which ones are still based in a third dimensional reality and they're not going to work. So you get, you tap into that guidance. And the other thing is your frequency. Your frequency is your marketing. So the higher your frequency, the more people you're going to reach, because you're going to radiate further and you'll attract. And my intention and my mantra that I say as far as my sacred service is, I am attracting those who are ready, willing, and able to benefit from the gifts that I have to give. And
yeah,
the people who come to me, you know, they validate that. They say, you know, my internal guidance, whatever words they use, you know, I could feel you were the one to be my teacher. So yeah, you radiate yourself and you attract who you need.
That is a very interesting point. I do think there is something to this that, and I've heard this before, and I, you know, it's making more sense to me. You know, for a long, like there was a period of time where I might have said, well, okay, Susanna, you're doing these upgrades and mental deprogramming, but like, there are other people out there that do that. There are other people that say they're doing DNA upgrades. There are other people who've had divine awakenings. There are other people, and you know, so what makes you different? Blah, 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 blah. But I actually am now on the other side of this and going, what makes you different is that you're different. You have a unique energy signature or whatever it is, this, there's no other Susanna Kennedy out there. And even if, you know, you had a doppelganger that looked like you and almost sounded like you to that point. Well, first of all, we know the Joe Biden clones aren't that great. So, but the point is that, in all seriousness, the point is that it's still this Susanna Kennedy that is doing these things is called to specific people. And I do really think that in the same way that, you know, you put 10 guys on paper, if you're a woman looking to date and they all have the same credentials, and it's like, oh, it's just which one I'm attracted to. And even then, it can sometimes be the person outside of those good on paper credentials. People are just drawn to it's the coaching is even less about the, it can be about the results, and it is important to have the results, but people are much more tuned into the unique relationship they're supposed to be having with a guide or mentor in a way that I think is much different than it was when people started getting into coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is, because, you know, I do. I look on the internet and I see a lot of people who, you know, the work that they say they do is, you know, the same, and they got testimonials and whatever. So it is all about your frequency and the people.
And if you lived in lack, you might go, why should I even do this if there are other people out there? And yet, I think it requires a certain self-belief and a certain love that goes, you know what? They might have a gift too. I have a gift. And the people that are going to be drawn to me are going to be drawn to me. And that's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be. And otherwise, you're going to get into the whole 3D competition thing. You know, we're all on the same team, and we're going to express ourselves uniquely, and we have a unique frequency that, you know, the people who are meant to work with us are going to feel it. You know, I could feel it, and that's what I hear. Like I told you that I get most of my referrals from Bruce Lipton's website. There are 40 at least 40 different practitioners on there. But I get thousands of people on my website every day. So there, how, you know, are they going through and getting the free gift from everybody, or are they really feeling into the energy of, you know, the few words that I have that take them to my website?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very interesting. Super, definitely made me rethink some things that I have been throwing around in my head about what this work is and this clearing work and transcending and whatnot. So I hope I get there. I or at least, you know, you can tell me what to clear out of my frequency. Maybe you tell me off the air if you're like, Greg, hey, quit eating Kraft mac and cheese. But yes, definitely processed food. Get rid of it. But no. In all seriousness, I do think that there's some really cool stuff that you're on the edge of, the forefront of, in this mass awakening, this mass awakening to opening up your consciousness, I would say. And so I definitely enjoyed this conversation. Everybody needs to check out you got to check out SusannaKennedy.com. I mean, that's where the magic is happening. You can find out everything there, as well as all your courses and your book, Sacred Union. Yes, we're going into the 5D. Super interesting stuff. Susanna, before we go, you know, for someone out there that is skeptical, that goes, okay, this is all some very nice talk. Sun energy, what have you, sacred union. What's one thing that they can do right now to get them tuned into the fact that there are these frequencies operating, that there is something greater than their waking reality?
Yeah, I would say go to my website and get the free gift, which is the Quantum Peace Activation, and just do it and experience it for yourself. And, you know, most people will feel a difference, even if it's a subtle difference, even if it's just being more at peace. So I'm working with frequencies. It's a guided meditation. I guide you through clearing out some energies in your energy field and coming to a place of peace. And so you can try it for yourself and have that experience and see if you resonate with me.
Yes. Experiment with this stuff. That's what it's all about. I love it. Susanna Kennedy, thanks so much for coming on the show. Very interesting discussion. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I enjoyed it too.
Susanna Kennedy, thanks so much for coming on the show. How about Reality Craft Beer? 98% infinite energy of love, 57% alcohol content. Hey, if it's beer that tastes like most people's reality, it'll probably taste like Bud Light. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank Zero Boy for the pre-theme music. I want to thank you for listening in. If you like this show, go to ratethispodcast.com/openloops and let's hear your voice. Would love your feedback. I always do. Talk soon.